is that essentially all stressors negatively affect the gut barrier. The gut barrier is important because it separates unwanted molecules that reside in the lumen of the gastrointestinal tract, including the rumen, from the animal's body. So this barrier is very important, and it's a very interesting barrier because it needs to absorb valuable nutrients, amino acids, fatty acids, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, and waters, while simultaneously keeping other toxic compounds like pathogens, enzymes, toxins, etc., from infiltrating into the animal's body.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Adasail, provider of Smartamine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Birdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition. Vitagro, the gut health experts, rumen protected, right where it matters. Sponsored by S. Milko Inc., specialists in calf and baby farm animal nutrition, delivering precision formulated milk replacers.
Hello, everyone. This is Luis Ferreiro with the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. And today we will discuss about stress impact on gut health and animal productivity. And to explain all about this key topic for us, we have Dr. Lance Baumgard, professor at Iowa State University. Lance is one of the key specialists trying to better understand and elucidate the impact of stress in dairy cattle. And Lance, thank you so much for joining us today. Let me start with, I'm going to assume is a simple question. How does stress affect gut barrier function?
Hi, Luis. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. So we've learned a lot in the last 15 years about stress in general. And one of the things that was initially surprising to my group and others is that essentially all stressors negatively affect the gut barrier. The gut barrier is important because it separates unwanted molecules that reside in the lumen of the gastrointestinal tract, including the rumen, from the animal's body. So this barrier is very important, and it's a very interesting barrier because it needs to absorb valuable nutrients, amino acids, fatty acids, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, and waters, while simultaneously keeping other toxic compounds like pathogens, enzymes, toxins, etc., from infiltrating into the animal's body. So what we've learned, though, is that essentially all stressors negatively affect this barrier function. And there's probably at least multiple components to that mechanism, but we think it primarily acts through a neuroendocrine / immune system where specific immune cells are activated, which then cause the hyperpermeability of the intestinal barrier.
If we reach a scenario where animals have a compromised gut barrier, what are the potential consequences that the dairy cow may face with that?
Yeah. Well, it's not just dairy cows. It's all animal species. But once the barrier becomes compromised or is not as functional as it should be, well, this allows antigens. And in fact, sometimes if the barrier becomes cell permeable, it allows entire microbes to infiltrate through it. The consequences of this are that now we have components that are non-self being recognized by the cow's body. And of course, this stimulates the immune system. And once the immune system gets stimulated, right, you have all the negative consequences of immune activation that everyone on this podcast are familiar with. You have a fever, you lose your appetite, you become lethargic. And this same thing happens in farm animals as well. So it's really conserved response amongst species. The gut barrier becomes compromised. Antigens and bacteria now infiltrate into the local and systemic circulation. And this is then accompanied by immune activation.
At Vitagro, we are the gut health experts, developing advanced microencapsulation technologies that deliver nutrients exactly where they are needed. Our rumen-protected solutions allow amino acids, vitamins, and organic acids to bypass degradation and reach the intestine intact. The result is higher nutrient efficiency, improved metabolic health, greater peak milk, and stronger reproductive performance. Stop guessing. Start targeting nutrition with precision. Vitagro, gut health delivered where it matters. Learn more at vetagro.com.
So you describe a little bit about how that's going to change the immune system. So tell us more about nutrients specifically for the immune system. How much nutrients does the immune system utilize, and how does this scenario changes that?
So the immune activation and the ensuing inflammation that comes from the immune activation has a very large nutrient requirement. So, and by the way, the immune system's important. So the hierarchy of immune system is much more pronounced than, for example, making economically important traits like milk or muscle or a fetus. In other words, the immune system is more important to the host animal than synthesizing milk is. Anyway, so once the immune system becomes activated, it has two nutrients that are incredibly important to it and to its function. One is glucose. So we have been trying to estimate how much glucose the immune system is using. And of course, it's on a sliding scale. So in other words, the more intense the immune system is activated, the more glucose it will use. But once the immune system becomes activated, it only wants to burn one fuel, and that is glucose. So it no longer wants to burn fatty acids or amino acids for energy. And this is called the Warburg effect. It's been described in the late 1920s by a guy named Otto Warburg. Long story short, once the immune system gets activated, it only wants to burn glucose. And we've utilized a variety of different techniques to try to estimate how much glucose it's being used. And in a lactating dairy cow, it can be up to 2 kilograms, a little over 4 pounds of glucose per day. The reason why that's important is because milk synthesis requires glucose. So now we have a collision of priorities, right? The synthesis of milk needing glucose and the requirement of the immune system needing glucose. And remember, I briefly mentioned a few minutes ago, the immune system is more important. In the hierarchy of systems, the immune system is more important to her than the mammary gland. So now we have a rediversion, a redirection of glucose to the immune system, and the mammary gland just simply doesn't get its fuel that it needs. It also has a large requirement for amino acids, and a few in particular, the immune system, I mean. So again, the immune system's amino acid requirement is of higher importance than the mammary gland's amino acid requirement to make milk protein. So the immune system has a ravenous appetite for 2 key ingredients that the mammary gland also has a big appetite for. And when the immune system becomes engaged, it gets those nutrients rather than the mammary gland.
So clearly the immune system will basically, you know, reduce milk production or do not allow the cow to receive nutrients to improve their production in exchange of trying to be healthy. Earlier, you mentioned that there are several stress factors that could influence this issue associated with gut barrier. Could you please explain a little bit about what are those key stressors and do they all work the same?
So we originally started evaluating the gut from a heat stress perspective. And this was back in the early 2000s. We were using pigs as our model. And well, then we realized there's a whole field of biology called stress physiology. that was primarily studying it in humans and rodents. And we started to recognize that other stressors cause leaky gut or gut barrier dysfunction as well. And some classic stressors that are very common on farm are weaning. And that's probably the most well-described stressor on farm is weaning. That happens both in calves, but also in piglets. Heat stress, of course, overcrowding, off-feed events. And there's a variety of stressors that occur during the transition period, starting at dry off. And a lot of these, Louise, are essentially emanating from psychological stress. And essentially, anytime an animal has a change in its routine, which happens when you dry a cow off, so they get a new pen, new pen mates, new routine, new diet, right? And then you have 21 days before calving, you typically have another one of these pen moves, new diet, pen mates, new change in routine, and of course, calving. Is stressful. New diet, new pen, milk. You got to learn the milking parlor or the rotary. So there's a variety of these stressors that occur in a small window of time. And of course, overcrowding is another classic stressor. The interesting thing is how conserved the biological consequences these stressors have, And again, they almost all emanate their pathology from the gut.
And is it fair to assume that the more stressors you have at a given time, worse becomes for gut function? Or do you think that there are key aspects that under certain times, like you described very well, the calving period, right, which is key, as well as the weaning period, that changed that in a different way?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And that's something my group has been really focused on the last year or two now, is the concept of stacked stressors. And again, we're extrapolating information we know from human and rodent literature, where an animal can oftentimes tolerate one stress, right? But it's when a second stress is simultaneously applied. And this is a concept called stacked stressors. And a classic example here would be, for example, heat stress. Heat stress and mastitis, okay? Maybe the animal would be able to handle a mammary pathogen and not experience full-fledged mastitis when she was in thermoneutral conditions. But if the animal's heat stressed, now we're already experiencing one stress, and that second stressor of mastitis, of a mammary pathogen, now can turn into full-fledged mastitis. When, if the animal hadn't been previously heat stressed, maybe the immune system would have been able to handle that mammary pathogen without causing, severe mastitis. So that's an example of where these stack stressors, really, it's not 1 + 1 = 2, it's 1 + 1 = 3.
No, I think that's a great example and basically tells everyone that the ultimate goal is to make sure that there are no stressors so we don't risk anything related to that. Lance, thank you so much for joining us today and bring a lot of great information. Thank you at home for joining us, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Louise.